Hi, I'm Eric.
I'm Alec.
We're the Petchy Brothers.
And this is StoryTap,
where we usually take inspiration from a humble idea and come up with a completely original story of our own. But we're doing something a little different this time.
As a creative exercise, we're taking someone else's intellectual property and crafting an original story that would synergize well with it.
This isn't a derivative work, since the movie is hypothetical. We're just pitching ideas, which are uncopyrightable. We went to business school.
This episode, The Muppets Maltese Chicken, a classic noir detective adventure. But, you know, with Muppets. We're talking proper Muppets.
We're talking proper Muppets that, like, you know, they ask us to make the next Muppet movie, and then, like, that's literally all we have to go off of. That's a big challenge. Do you want to try it?
Yeah, let's go. Let's go for the Muppet movie.
Wrong. Also, we went through the entire last episode without cursing, so I want to keep that train going. Anyway, so we're making a Muppet movie.
Making a Muppet movie.
Dang, this is already so hard.
Everyone's dream.
The only Muppet movie idea I have would be The Muppets Count of Monte Cristo, but as cool as that would be to see the actual movie of, and as fun as that would be to come up with that, that would be so boring to listen to on the podcast.
Yeah, see, okay, so you've taken my first question off the table already. It's like, are we putting Muppets into an old story, like Christmas Carol or Treasure Island style, or are we making an original Muppet story? And the answer is an original Muppet story, because we can craft a pitch for a Muppets Tale of Two Cities or whatever, but that's not really what we do here.
Yeah, we come up with our own. The part of the fun for us, and pretty much all of the fun for the listener, is listening to us come up with events that happen throughout the story.
Yeah.
Listening to us come up with characters and world building, that's boring as hell.
So, yeah, that was kind of the problem we had. That was sort of the problem with Magis.
Oh, the hour and a half train wreck, which was still fun to do.
It was still fun to do.
Boring for you.
I don't know how much you liked it.
Believe you.
But we got there. We figured out a formula. We got there.
Cool. All right. So here's the hard part. Coming up with an original story worthy of the Muppets. This is such a big challenge because the Muppets have always done such a stellar job of striking a particular tone of being silly. And the characters are all silly, bar one or two of them, with certain character moments being serious. But the story is always pretty serious.
Okay, and here's why I think I've picked something, or picked a strategy that should lend itself well to that. Mm-hmm. We don't seek to make a Muppet movie. We seek to make a genre movie with Muppets. It's like what they do, just putting the characters into old stories, is they follow the signature beats of a genre. Like, you've got the Great Muppet Caper and the Muppets Take Manhattan and other stuff. Those stories, they follow traditional genre beats.
Okay.
But follow the characters as Muppets, which, you know, adds an inherent layer of absurdity and comedy and just, I don't know, inherent joy.
I really dig that. Do you have a genre you want to go with? I have an idea.
I'm just thinking things that come to mind. Muppets Western, Muppet detective movie, Muppet you thought detective movie?
I was thinking noir detective.
Muppets True Detective.
Muppets True Detective.
Muppets True Detective.
Holy.
Okay.
So, for anyone listening that is not super familiar with the noir genre, black and white, grizzled detective with some personal, he's probably an alcoholic or addicted to drugs or something, single guy, very hip in, what decade was this really popular?
It was a 30s and 40s thing, really.
Yeah.
20s, 30s, 40s. The 40s was, like, the golden age of noir movies.
Very self-glorifying and, like, oh, my suffering is so cool. So, the main character, for this to be a true Muppet movie, will have to take... Well, no, I'm getting... I was about to fall into the formula that I just said we have to avoid, like, the plague of, you know, the Muppets Maltese Falcon. But it's okay, because we can just call it We can just take the story beats from noir movies, and we can just call it The Muppets Maltese Falcon, and literally the only thing that's the same, because I've seen it, but I don't remember it at all, the only thing that's the same is the MacGuffin. That is the Maltese Falcon.
I mean, yeah, it doesn't have to be the Maltese Falcon either. It could be, say, I don't know, the Maltese pig.
Right. The Maltese chicken.
The Maltese chicken.
The Muppets Maltese chicken. Okay, this is dope so far.
Yeah, this is great.
Have you seen The Maltese Falcon?
I have not, actually.
Well, it doesn't matter because all the noir movies that are the same.
Pretty much.
So, okay, we're making...
There's like three noir movies.
So, first things first, main character. A person, not a Muppet?
Yeah, a person, not a Muppet. And they go to seek help from a Muppet detective.
Oh, that would be good. The classic noir... plot device of, oh, I can't do this alone, I have to go back to my old partner, and they're like, they don't like each other, or maybe they begrudging respect, but something, but he's a Muppet and the main character's not. I dig that already.
Yeah.
All right.
So I guess the first question is, okay, so who is our protagonist? We only have to make like 3-4 characters, so right. Everyone else comes kind of prepackaged, and we just add some flavor.
Yeah, I'm thinking we're going to copy the Muppets Christmas Carol formula, where the love interest is also a person. Because, you know, a person fawning over a Muppet just comes off as, like, a skit that's to be laughed at.
I mean, here's the thing about that. I don't think we should have a love interest between human beings in this story. It's, like, historically the least interesting part of Muppet movies. Nobody comes to see the human. They edit The Love is Gone out of a Christmas, out of a Muppet's Christmas Carol now, because it wasn't compelling, and it, like, distracted us from Michael Caine hanging out with Muppets.
Yeah, that's very true.
There is no, like, romantic arc. Traditionally, about the Muppets. Traditionally, the only love story going on is between Kermit and Miss Piggy.
That's very true.
And hang on, I have something for this too. The noir genre is traditionally vaguely asexual. Like, it views, and this is like, this is a sexist thing, but this is how these movies were. It views women as femme fatales, as like this dangerous distraction from the work.
Right, and I think... to play with that, maybe this wouldn't exactly fly if we were to try to pitch this movie, but to make a play on that, it would be the grizzled detective can't be with the femme fatale distraction. So, to sort of have our main character's romantic relationship play off of that, to make it a Muppet would amplify, like, the silliness of that idea. Therefore, making fun of that objectifying kind of plot construct that was so popular back then.
Right.
Okay.
All right, so I feel like the easy one here is that Kermit is the grizzled noir detective, and he and his former partner were both in love with Miss Piggy.
Yes. I think the main character should still be a human, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
It would have to be someone with dope range.
Yeah.
Like Michael Caine.
Yeah, we're pulling a Michael Caine who's like... and, you know, we don't cast for this, but it'd be something crazy. It'd be someone crazy, like, we get Tom Hardy, who's somebody crazy famous, who is also, like, a veteran actor.
Tom Hardy is a great placeholder right now, and depending on how it goes, we might switch that, but he's perfect as a placeholder.
We're just kind of communicating to you what we're talking about here.
Very cool. Okay, main character, for now, Tom Hardy. We'll just call him Tom.
Tom? Thomas?
The main character, Tom, / Thomas.
Right. He left that life behind.
He definitely left Miss Piggy behind.
He owns a bar. That's one of the characters in every noir movie, heist movie, is the guy who owns a bar now.
Okay. He's left the life of being a detective behind? Okay, before I get into...
They were on the force together.
Before I get into disagreeing with him not being a detective anymore, can you run me and the audience through the majority of the stereotypical noir genre? How does a typical noir movie go?
Okay, well, the grizzled detective, traditionally Raymond Chandler, played by some equally grizzled actor like Humphrey Bogart, is approached by... the femme fatale, or some other client brings him a mystery to solve. And usually what happens is he goes to solve the mystery. The mystery is a little too obvious and he finds himself set up in some way to take the fall for a crime. So he becomes inherently tangled up in the mystery and it goes from being business to being personal. He continues to move through it and almost gets the girl, but cannot because that would interfere with the work. And then somebody dies.
Yeah. Okay, so that's very stellar. You're more of a specialist when it comes to all things film.
Thank you.
You're the expert when it comes to all film history. The only reason I don't want him to have left the detective life behind is because I feel that we would be spending too much time exploring Tom Hardy's leaving the detective life behind rather than just being like, he's a detective, he does this all the time.
Well, then it can be flipped. Tom Hardy can be the detective, Kermit can be the one who's left the life behind.
Yeah. And I'm already getting a vibe that whatever, and either one of them or both of them left the life behind is because Miss Piggy chose neither of them or chose one of them over the other. But everyone's single right now. And then right. Kermit and Miss Piggy's, okay, maybe they end up together, maybe it's in Piggy's.
Okay, well then what happens? Then obviously what has to happen is that Miss Piggy brings the case to Tom.
Okay. Okay.
And it's like, he says, I can't do this alone. I need to go to my old partner.
That's really good. Like, okay.
I thought I told you I never wanted to see you around here again, Thomas.
That's a bit exaggerated, but you're coming from a great place right now. That's exactly what we're going for.
I had to, Kerm. It's Piggy.
So, okay, first
then
we
he drops a glass. There
you go. We gotta decide. That's showing our hand a little too early. Let's just start with, where is Tom? He's still a detective. Did you agree to that?
Yeah, I agree to that.
Okay, cool. So Tom is still a detective. He's
a private detective.
He needs either, we need to establish more Muppets with no degrees of separation from Tom. You know what I'm saying? For him to be all alone would be, I don't want to say a bit too serious, but like, you know, Jim Hawkins of Muppet Treasure Island had Rizzo and Gonzo. There was Michael Caine who had Bob Cratchit was right. Kermit. So there's always a Muppet right there. Right. Someone for him to fraternize, maybe speak exposition to. So what is that position? Is that secretary?
Yeah, secretary.
Where the client comes in and talks to them before they actually talk to the detective.
Those detective movies always have the phrase is his girl Friday.
So who is that secretary type? And should they be at arm's length from Tom, or should it be more like their buds?
I think the work friend vibe is the best one. Is that it's like we're very, there's a back and forth, but we don't interact with each other outside of this.
Mm-hmm.
I like arm's length I think is a little stronger. So who do we want to put there? Like the.
It could be, okay. Our options are someone outright silly, someone half silly, half serious, someone all serious, which I don't really agree with, or someone who is half silly, half serious, but comes off as cool, and I'm getting major Pepe the King Prawn vibes.
Oh man, I love
for
that.
The secretary. Like, they come in, Pepe's got sunglasses, he's smoking, but we might not do that anymore, so he's like, and he's like, I'd like to speak to the detective. Slowly looks up. And who are you, okay? And like, oh, I really dig that. Tom Hardy and Pepe the Prawn. Muppet Noir movie. This is already tight. Okay.
Yeah, this is amazing.
Now that we have a pretty solid base to work with, let's start from the very beginning. It always starts with a sort of teaser. And it not being noir movies, but specifically us coming up with the generic Hollywood formula. Teaser scene. Do we see a murder or do we see a crime committed? I think murder might be a bit too serious. Like, you know, a person dying, that's a bit too heavy for a Muppet movie right off the bat, unless they die from sickness or something. Murder is a little too serious. Mm. I think it should be a It's the Maltese Falcon.
It's the I completely forgot. But it's the Maltese Chicken.
The Maltese Chicken is... I don't remember what happens in the Maltese Falcon. So, is the teaser scene the Maltese Falcon being stolen? Or almost stolen? Or broken? I don't
know. Stolen. It's stolen, I think. I don't know. I've never seen this movie.
Okay, I'm cooking up something good. The Maltese Falcon. A artifact worth a lot of money. It's right. An antique... Well, artifact is more appropriate. Because it is from some culture that Europe most definitely stole from.
Yeah.
And I think a good place to take this is an unexpected Tom Hardy showing a moment of humanness is the end, where we capture the bad guy and all this other good stuff. What the extra mile of being a good person is like giving it to the... whatever country native to take it back, you know?
Right.
It's like Indiana Jones, it belongs in a museum, and it's like, yeah, you're coming from a good place, Indiana, but you're not quite woke.
Not the, it belongs in the museum, not in the building that you just took it from, not a museum in the country you're taking it from.
That's, yeah, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I just want to establish that.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I do like that.
This is the difficult part, coming up with the mystery that is sort of interesting. You know?
All right. Well, no. Piggy's new husband, Piggy's husband, is a dealer in rare antiquities.
Alrighty.
And it has been stolen from him. Like, he knows he's received a note saying, we'll give it back for this amount of money or something. Don't contact the police.
Okay.
Piggy is saying she doesn't believe they're going to give it back, and he'll be financially... his reputation and his finances will be ruined if he doesn't get it back in time. So she's going to Tom.
Who is Piggy's husband? Is it? I feel like maybe that could be a human.
That could be a human.
And that could be... the deal is, like, he's, you know, in cahoots with the thieves, so his moral character is not super stellar. And that's...
right.
That's a sort of plot device to play with so that the femme fatale and the ex-partner, in this case, Piggy and Kermit, end up not outright together again, but, you know,
yeah.
We have to play to that.
See, the thing that I was, I was leaning towards is that it is stolen by, you know, the people that it rightfully belongs to.
Ah, okay.
They've written this note to discourage police involvement long enough for them to get it out of the country.
I dig that. That's really cool.
So which, and honestly, I think that makes the logical thieves Gonzo and Camilla.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gonzo is not native to there, but he's
a whatever.
Yeah, he's a whatever.
So
he's married to Camilla from that culture.
Yes.
Okay, that's really cool. And furthermore, I think there should be someone is from that culture, and it would be more appropriate tangentially from that culture, not a chicken themselves, Camilla, right, but Gonzo, who has sort of taken it upon himself to find the artifact, to help find the artifact as well, and return it to at least a museum. He's, you know, every once in a while reveals that he's a little bit miffed that it's not in its country of origin, but he does say it's better to be found than to just be stolen in who knows hands.
Right.
And then there's that twist, and he's, yeah, that's great.
Okay, yeah. So they meet with Piggy, they get their first lead, and their first lead is to go to someone they used to know who's done quite well for himself. So they go to Fozzie Bear's nightclub.
Oh, this is good.
There's always a nightclub.
There's always a nightclub.
And there's always, like, a mysterious, shady guy. And I just love the idea of Fozzie Bear being the shady guy. Like, waka waka!
And he's, like, terrible at keeping secrets. He's got, like, a network in the criminal underground. And Tom just knows how to, like... I mean, he's Fozzie, but talk circles around him. So that he can inadvertently slip up and tell him something. This is good.
This is what puts us in touch with Gonzo.
Okay, I dig that.
Yeah.
I dig that.
Yeah.
Now we've got a lot of strands to pull at. There's a lot to choose from, but, you know, I don't want to just be rambling for a while. Where do they end up? So we go from Tom's office. Piggy gives us new information that sends us to Fozzie's nightclub.
Right.
Fozzie directs us to Gonzo, who is looking for it, and then Tom, not knowing that Gonzo's just looking for it, he's like, this guy also has leads. I'm going to tail him. He tails Gonzo on the way to what he thinks is like, oh my gosh, maybe the Maltese chicken is hidden in here somewhere. He bursts in. It's Kermit's office.
Ah, all right.
They're forced to work together.
Aha.
And we have to explore their falling out. How did that happen?
I don't know. Help me out here.
Okay, I'm kind of digging. Since it's a Muppet movie, just an outright understanding. Not some sort of philosophical contention. Just Kermit. They don't outright talk about it, because here we go, playing on it again. They're both grizzled detective types who never talk about their feelings. So rather than just outright saying why they had that falling out, Kermit is like, you know what happened. And Tom is like, I'm not going to apologize. And like, Tom doesn't know what happened. And Kermit knows that he's like kind of misleading, but they don't talk about their feelings.
Right.
And so at the end, when they bring it up and they clear the air, which ultimately leads to them finding the Maltese chicken and good guys winning,
yes,
should be some misunderstanding involving Piggy. He thinks that Tom is also in love with Piggy, and he's like, she's a pig, and there, that's really
that's
good.
Actually, okay, I actually like that it's all been a misunderstanding. It's like, no, we're good friends.
Yeah.
But no, that's not, no.
That's so good.
But now I'm also just, like, there's an image, like, when they first see each other, it's like, I'm not gonna apologize. Me neither.
Yeah, Kermit makes
like,
that face.
Swallows the top half of his face, practically.
And Tom does the same. I love it. I love that. And then, since we're running a little short on time, we can just say, since we have some pretty good beats here, and we might have to come up with a B-plot, we'll come up with that probably after the break, Tom goes from place to place, finds Kermit, and then the next place they go should be a big reveal of, knowing the formula, the villain, who we suspect has stolen the Maltese chicken. And it could be a Muppet, but I'm kind of feeling, and stop me if you come up with something better, a human who we suspect is the ultimate villain, but turns out to just be someone hired by the chickens.
Yeah, all right. I like that. Like, with the mercenary vibes.
Right.
Yeah, I like that. Another I really
actor.
Like that.
Another actor with reasonable range.
Yeah, another reputable actor.
Yeah. Okay. So, we go from Kermit's office to where?
The docks. I don't know why. Yep. The docks is just where crime happens. This is where you confront I don't even know, like, for a fact that that's a thing. It just feels right.
Okay, I dig it. Kermit and or Fozzie and or Tom have some sort of connection to the docks where they know some sort of illegal auction thing goes on here.
Yeah.
And so they know it's the next logical place for the Maltese chicken to switch hands. A big, major price tag, a name your price kind of auction for illegal artifacts. It's a black market. They go to the docks and they meet the person who stole it. Not the person paid to steal the Maltese chicken. But instead of finding the chicken, they make this huge bust. And there is a lot of potential for slapstick comedy there.
Yes, there
is. And they don't find it, but they do find the guy who stole it.
Right.
And he's like, oh yeah, I know where that might be.
I think that one thing that would be beneficial to the plot is that if Gonzo and Piggy are both there.
Yeah.
Like, they have interest in acquiring the chicken by any means.
Yeah, that way, Kermit gets the first face-to-face with Piggy, and Gonzo can lead us to our next sort of major plot event, which I think we should come up with after the break, because we should step away from it.
Great.
Before we come up with too much, and the second half is slow and boring.
Got it. We'll be right back.
And we're back. We didn't come up with a new title. We decided to keep it the same. The Muppets Maltese Chicken.
Love when that works out.
Because, I mean, that's so perfect.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And we've decided that coming up with character names would be kind of arbitrary. Because paying homage to people in noir movies, that would be so easy. And last names are so generic anyway. because all the characters' names are just going to be first name of whatever the Muppet is, and then probably some generic last name, like Kermit Smith, I don't know. Well, that's to be left to more hardworking creative types like script writers.
No, it's obviously Kermit T. Frog.
Kermit T. Frog, that's great. But we decided what would be more important is coming up with casting.
We decided to do a little bit more with that since this is more speculative and we get to kind of have more fun with what kind of movie would we make, what kind of actor would we want to put in it. Our third choice would be Tom Hanks. Our second choice is Daniel Craig, James Bond himself. But our first choice, and it's pretty distinctly different from those first two because we think he'd knock it out of the park, is Denzel Washington. Just because he has this perfect combination of middle-aged wisdom and grit, and he is just an amazing actor. One of the best ones working right now.
He's also just really cool.
He's just really cool. And he just seems like he'd be fun enough to have back and forth with, you know, Muppets.
Yeah, and he, as our protagonist, his name, since we're naming the movie The Maltese Chicken, we would most definitely have to cut some sort of deal with who owns that intellectual property, Warner Brothers, and we might as well name the main character the same. Samuel Spade was the name of the main character detective in The Maltese Falcon, so it's only appropriate that he's Detective Samuel Spade in The Maltese Chicken.
Mm.
Now, okay, where were we in regard to plot points?
We had reached the midpoint, which is what we always reach when we take our midpoint twist break for tea and cookies in the lobby. So what had happened was everyone had attended the auction. Spade, Kermit, Miss Piggy, and Gonzo.
Right.
And they have slapstick comedy ensues, and they find the man who has been hired to steal the Maltese chicken.
What plot point we're discovering there is we found out who stole it. Now we have to go to whoever hired them. There's potential to add to the mystery. Gonzo seeing his wife... What is it? What is the chicken's
name? Camilla. Camilla the chicken.
Yeah, seeing his wife Camilla the chicken at the auction. And he's, you know, not present for a couple of plot-relevant moments. So no character directs your attention to it until he comes back. They say, where were you? He says something generic, like, oh, I got lost. And doesn't really rouse any suspicion. But at that point is when he finds out the truth. And maybe now the Maltese chicken is in his possession at that point.
Ah, okay. Okay, I like that.
But there still needs to be some sort of opposition on a level more malicious than Gonzo and the chickens trying to take, not trying to steal, but to take back the Maltese chicken. There needs to be another force, more antagonistic, that is trying to steal the Maltese chicken.
I mean, it's Piggy's husband. Right. It comes back full circle. So, like, who's Piggy's husband? What's the deal there?
Yeah.
I mean, one option we can take is it's one of those, like, minor Muppets characters, like that other pig who is just, you know, the other pig just in the Muppets.
The other pig who plays a bad pig.
Yeah.
The Muppets or whatever.
The Muppets.
In that one Muppets movie.
Well, I was talking about, like, just a miscellaneous male pig in, like, that they had on the Muppets show. I think he was... what is the thing? Pigs in Space.
Oh, yeah.
It's like that guy.
Oh, yeah. The captain in Pigs in Space.
That guy, yeah.
The generic jerk pig.
Yeah.
Yeah. He would be a great... He could be the generic mustache-twirling type bad guy that we don't feel bad about when something bad happens to him. Or he could have a sort of realization. Maybe both. Maybe he lets it get away. Maybe he lets them take the Maltese chicken and he's like, oh, well, I can just cash in on the insurance money.
And then he gets arrested for insurance fraud.
Yeah, that would be pretty great too. Okay, I dig it. We should add a character or two that can contribute more to a B plot, perhaps.
Well, we have Pepe just sort of floating around in there. It's sort of introduced. I mean, that could work well for a bit of a darkest hour
Yeah, The Darkest Hour is the focus is a bit more on, I still want to call him Tom, a bit more on Sam and Kermit, them in a higher age-rated movie, they would be getting drunk together to talk about their feelings. But, yeah,
but they can just be, I mean, it can just be at a bar.
Yeah,
at this a is like,
bar-type well, place.
Yeah, and Pepe is there. Pepe is there, because Pepe is everywhere when we need him.
Exactly.
And he says, what actually happened between you two, okay?
Yeah, that kind of thing. Maybe they're at Fozzie's. And yeah. Fozzie's the one who's, like, directs
at the Waka Waka Club.
He directs the conversation a bit. But who comes and gets them out of there? Who? Because they can't just say, well, now that we've gotten over our differences, we can go get the Maltese chicken. They need to say, now that we're over our differences, we can work together. And then someone comes to them with new information. Who's that? Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. I've been sitting on this idea the entire episode, but I couldn't come up with a good enough reason to deliver it. Someone working at a newspaper who keeps on getting in the detective's way because they want the scoop, and they keep on trying to stall them so that, you know, the thief doesn't see anything in the papers, because that's a plot device if you want it to be.
Hmm.
And I'm really digging Rizzo the Rat.
Thank you. I was going to say the only option.
Rizzo the Rat taking pictures this whole time, trying to get the next big scoop as a reporter. And maybe he comes to them and he's like, can I finally publish these pictures? And they just say, well, let's take a look and we'll decide which ones are okay. And there's like a chicken in every single one or something like that. And then they're like, and then there's something there. We might have to come up with that, or we could just leave it to a screenwriter to come up with what is the link there that they know for a fact is Gonzo's wife, you know? This isn't just any chicken. This is Gonzo's wife. He mentioned earlier about her birthmark or something like that.
Yeah.
She was there at the auction. I remember nice. Now. She was this. She was that. And, oh, what would be really good is we don't even directly say that Gonzo's wife is a chicken. He just mentions that she's got a birthmark or something, and then it's on the chicken. And he's like, he's married to a chicken? And it's like, well, of course she would be at the auction. Of course she would be here or there, blah, blah, blah. And then they'd realize, like, oh my gosh. That's why when Gonzo was at the auction and it switched hands secretly, blah, blah, blah. That's why Gonzo doesn't want us to find it. That's why he mentioned this. That's why he did that. We have to go. And then they go, and you think Gonzo's the enemy, and they go to confront him. And then what is not the big showdown, but the big finale, because it's setting up to seem like a showdown, but it's actually just like a demystifying. It's actually just like a clarification of, no, please don't. I'm still doing exactly what you suspect me of doing, just for these reasons. And they're like, oh, that's a lot more morally justifiable.
Yeah, well, there's like, I don't know about that. I feel like what it needs to be is that Miss Piggy has been taken by the real threat.
Oh. The real threat.
Being her sleazy husband pig guy.
Okay. Oh, wait. Instead, why would he kidnap his wife?
That's a good question.
I'm thinking instead of kidnapping his own wife, he kidnaps a chicken.
Right.
Oh, he's seen the photos before, or maybe at the same time as Denzel and Kermit. And then while they go to get the Maltese chicken, he thinks that's a waste of time. So he goes and kidnaps Gonzo's wife. Like, this is a malicious dude. And they go, they find Gonzo. They know where the Maltese chicken is. Or maybe they have it at that point. But then the real showdown climax of the movie is them confronting Jerk Pig. So he is unequivocally the bad guy, because he is a kidnapping someone,
yep,
and be threatening with violence rather than
implied violence.
Yes, exactly.
Implylence.
That. Okay, we got another like 9 minutes or so to fill. So
then I'll dance.
It all works out pretty well. Maybe the B plot. Well, no. Instead of a B plot outright playing out as Denzel and Kermit and Piggy and all them do their thing, instead it should just be cutaway stuff of shifting perspective a little bit, instead of camera, you know, across the street and there's a shadowy figure looking at them as they meet, mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
One thing that lends itself well to this is voiceover is a heavy element of old noir movies. With that shifting perspective, you can go from Spade to Miss Piggy to Kermit to Gonzo.
What I'm picturing right now is these kids are so green they don't know what's in store. Cut to someone else. I wonder if he knows about blah, 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 blah. Gonzo, man, I'm hungry right now. Okay.
Okay, yeah. That's a fun element that could be fleshed out. That's like a lot of work to flesh out, but I think that's a fun thing to just sort of have introduced in there because it's a natural part of the genre, and this is something that you can do and pay homage to, but simultaneously not exactly make fun of, but use in a lighter way than originally intended.
Word.
All right. I don't know how many more ideas we really have here. Did we already say that we couldn't do this in black and white?
We can't do the whole thing in black and white.
It should be in black and white.
There needs to be the mass appeal to all age groups, and kids just automatically write off black and white. Kids, give them the same thing in color and black and white. Even artistic choices, they don't care. It's easier to look at for them.
Well, they should, because it's beautiful and fun. All right, I'm kidding. I don't care.
We should
this
have
is
a kid
imaginary
on the podcast movie. So you can just kick him every once in a while. Jeez.
I think I made a joke about, like, there's a child that just sits in the corner.
Oh, I remember something about that.
Yeah. All right, we'll go back and figure that out to make that a recurring joke. But,
So all that is truly left that is necessary is the denouement, the ending after the big showdown. We've got Jerk Pig gets arrested, and Piggy just outright blames him. Not blames him for anything in particular, but realizes his character is subpar. Does not want to be with him. The only real candidate for her romantic partner, this feels so weird to word like this, is Kermit. So they, you know, we suggest that they might be getting back together, whatever.
Yeah.
And there's no bad blood between Sam and Kermit anymore, so they might start their own, like, detective...
Yep. Frog and Spade. Joint... Yeah, Frog of Spades.
Frog of Spades.
Which their doesn't own... even make sense, but is fun.
They might start their own joint detective service. Whatever. We've got... Rizzo does get the big scoop, and that sort of gives us some sort of channel into the denouement of, look... best friend detectives crack big case type of thing.
Yep.
Gonzo returns the Maltese chicken, and it's essentially happily ever after. I can't think of anything else, can you?
No.
This does a pretty good job.
I feel like this tracks as a concept, and it does what Muppet movies do well, which is incorporate just the whimsical silliness of having, like, these are really amazing puppets. I've shied away from using the word puppets because Muppets are real. I think we all agree on that.
Oh, yeah.
That nobody... Muppets are real. Those are living beings.
Nobody's operating Kermit the Frog.
I don't know if it's magic or if they're just, like, one-off mutations or what, but they're real things.
Word.
And incorporating that troupe of... magical beings into a classic story or into a genre, and Word. we've done that. It's almost like we didn't make an idea for a Muppet movie. We Muppetized the genre.
Indeed, excellent work. I think this
don't,
story's potential has been tapped.
He said it. Shoo.
The end.
The end.
Thanks for listening to this episode of StoryTap. If you enjoyed, make sure to leave a review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us on Twitter @StoryTapPodcast. It helps a ton. And thanks again.